The following audio is from the weekly message at Summit Church in the upstate of South Carolina. More information is available at summitupstate.org.
Listen, it is so good to be back with you. I've missed being here the last couple of weeks for various reasons. We traveled out to Iowa and Kansas City to work with some church partners out there. And then last week had a wedding of a young couple that actually started coming to Cherrydale while they attended Furman University. They got started dating when they were freshmen, and they kept it together the whole way through. And then they got married, and they got married in this really sweet and beautiful church in Charleston that we found out had this plaque on it for the guy who started Furman, which was a cool little twist they didn't even see coming. So that was neat, and we got to enjoy that time together as well. But it really is good to be back with you. And we are going to take a little break from the Gospel of Mark. So if you're a regular here, we've been walking through the Gospel of Mark. If you're a guest here, we've been walking through the Gospel of Mark, and we plan to continue to do that for several weeks here the rest of this fall and even into the next year to get through Mark's Gospel together. But this morning had just a few hours together in the first service and second service to really stop and think as we go into the fall about who we are, why we exist, and some of the ways that we want to call each other to continue to care about the things that God has called us to together. So if you're here and you're a guest, thank you for being here. There are wonderful churches around the upstate, and it's never lost on us when people walk in these doors and spend time with us. And we hope and pray you feel welcomed, and more than that, we hope and pray you feel encouraged by the reality that we're going to celebrate the love of Jesus Christ again and again and again and again. Every time we get together, we want to make much of him. And if you're a regular here, it really is always sweet and encouraging to see you. I feel like 100 extra people joined us today. And so if you're from Vox, I know Vox Vivium students are here. Would you raise your hand if you're from Vox this year? Thank you for being here this morning. Vox is a gap year program that meets right up the mountain, and they're checking out some churches in the local area, so it's really good to have you with us. And then I'm pretty confident that One Life OLX is here as well, like in this section. Yep. And everybody's like, who are these people? One Life also is, actually OLX is the second year program to a gap year program called One Life that that we know a lot of folks involved in, and some of our own people have attended as well. And then you've got Bob Jones and North Greenville, and Furman, and Greenville Tech, and I'm forgetting some, I'm sure. So Clemson, is there? Nobody comes that far, surely. We got one in Easley, just turn around. It's a lot closer to you. But it really is sweet to have everyone in the room together this morning. And for the sake of future reference, if you're a college kid, we also offer an 11 o'clock service, so feel free to sleep in if you want and join us in the 11 o'clock service. It really is sweet to have everybody here. It's a weird thing to stop and say, we're going to focus a little bit on who we are. That feels at times to be, you know, don't hit the brakes on talking about the beauty of Jesus and turn the attention to yourself. But I want you to know that our reason for that is because we really believe that who we are has everything to do with who he is. And so we're going to go to Colossians 1 in just a few moments, but we're really going to break the message up uniquely this morning. So I want to start by sharing a little bit of a reminder of kind of what lays underneath in the foundation of everything that is Summit Church. And then we're going to worship and take some time to consider the beauty of the Lord together, and then draw our attention to kind of a zoomed-in focus on what I think is an appeal for us this fall to care about each other. Not just to care about each other, but to care about each other's maturity in Jesus Christ. To care about each other being formed in the gospel of Jesus Christ. So that we would actually learn how to care about the people God has sovereignly placed around us wherever we live and do life. And if those things get detached from one another, they all start to suffer. And so we just want to tie that thread together a little bit for you this morning. So if you'll bear with us, I think it'll feel like a unique morning. I promise next week we'll be right back in the Gospel of Mark, and it'll feel more normal. But I do think this is an important morning, and I think it's an important moment for us. A lot of things changing and shifting. The fact of the matter is, it's this morning, right? It's this morning. Some of you probably maybe cared enough to get up early and realize that a significant figure in the world around us is no longer with us. And there was honor to her life happening this morning in the early hours when most were sleeping. And 21 years ago, culture and life changed in our world. Some perhaps for good, a lot probably not so great. The impact of that event and that day and those moments 21 years ago has lingered, and there's some things that have come from that that I think are not so healthy and not so great. And they still affect the way we live and think and make decisions in the world this very day. And so it's not lost on us that you take those things that happened years ago, days ago, or even the reality that the truth is we're just 2 years removed from something that utterly changed the way we do a lot of life. And I think it's okay for us to stop and consider things that are of utmost importance to us, if in fact they are, if in fact what we just sang is true, that God would actually be the position of supreme in life for us, the one who gets all the glory and all the honor and has all the authority. And then what would it mean to live and make decisions in light of that? I think that has everything to do with who we are as a church. I think it has everything to do with what God's called us to, and I think it has everything to do with our future. And here's perhaps a pic. I do this perhaps a lot or too much, but here's an image to just have hanging in the backdrop as we talk this morning. I love technology. I think it's amazing. Like, new devices are always fascinating to me, and I am the guy who's kind of a sucker to want it. I usually can't get it when it first comes out, but I want it. I think it's amazing. And I'm blown away because I really don't know how it works, right? I mean, the TV this morning wasn't really working. Like, half of it was showing up. Do you know how we fixed it? I'll give you one guess. Turned it off, and we turned it back on. Look at that, right? I don't know how that works. That makes no sense to me whatsoever. The most technologically advanced nations in the world exist today. We're not the only one. They're everywhere. The most advanced technology exists in the world today that's ever been created. And almost always, do you know how you get it to work? Turn it off, turn it back on. Like, that is fascinating to me. All the intricate parts inside of that phone you hold in your hand. And sometimes it'll freeze and sometimes it won't work. And we hate that. We hate that more than anyone in the world, right? Because stuff is supposed to work. So when it doesn't work, we get so angry. Like, you realize hold on. 30% of you in this room grew up in a time where if you wanted to call your friend, you had to grab the phone that was in the kitchen or in the hallway. It had a cord that was long enough to go to the neighbor's house. You would walk into your bedroom with that cord after dialing the number. You had to ask mom or dad if said friend was there and then have a 5-minute conversation with them about that friend. And then you talk to them, right? I mean, that was not that long ago. I'm not that old. I'm kind of not that old. And I remember going to college, and I had my first cell phone. It was like, my dad looked at me and said, one, you have 100 minutes. That's right. There were limits to the minutes, just so you guys know. Limits to the minutes. And you had to pay for text messages. Mm-hmm. Everybody, mm-hmm. Yeah. And my dad looked at me like, if you go over those minutes, you better be dying. You know, it was like that kind of a warning. I mean, before the cell phone, my sister had the phone that sits in the leather bag in the car, plugs into the lighter. Some of your minds are being blown this morning. It's fine. We're here for it, all right? I just want you to know what you got. So we have this phone that's in our hands that can do anything and everything. It's a computer in your hand. It's the most advanced technology in the world. If it freezes, you lose your mind. You're ready to throw it. You're ready to scream at it. You're ready to just, you know, give up on everything for the day. And then when it does, you know what to do. You turn it off, and you turn it back on, and it's like you got a new phone. That makes no sense to me whatsoever. Do you know why it doesn't make sense? Because nothing on the inside changed. It was all there. It was all there before I turned it off. When I turned it off, there wasn't anything that happened that came inside and put new parts in it. It did not happen. Now, I may be revealing how little I know about software updates and things like that, but just hear me out. What we do know is nothing on the inside actually changes. The operating system, the mechanics, the machinery that's on the inside of the phone, all the pieces, all the digital things connected together, all the wiring, if there's wires at all, I don't even know. If whatever's on the inside of that device, it stays the same. You turn it off, it resets. I think in light of the last couple of years, in light of the last several months, new families, new faces coming and getting connected to who we are. Our own personal wrestles with what does church need to look like in the world as we move into the next season of life and ministry God's called us into in his sovereignty. The wrestling with the things that are important when we gather together, but realizing it can't just be this. The realization that we live in a culture where it's so easy to say you love Jesus, but him have no impact on how you live life or make decisions whatsoever. We live in a world that's fascinated with information. It comes flying at us from every direction. We don't even care if it's true or not most of the time, as long as it makes us feel affirmed in something that we believe or that we want or that we desire. I think it's a moment for Summit, Cherrydale, but Summit Church at large to hit reset. And you know what I mean by that is I don't think the inside foundation of who we are or what God's called us to is actually in any way, shape, or form going to change. I think our mission and our vision and our values and our distinctives, all the things that have defined the way we try to think about ministry are going to stay the exact same. How that gets fleshed out, how that impacts and meets us in this present moment, that's going to change because it's always got to change. It's always got to be contextualized to the reality of the present day God's got you and I living in because he's got us here on purpose. So I just want to remind you of some of those things. I want to remind you of what is the foundation, what's on the inside, what when we push reset, where we want to draw our anchor back to a little bit so that we can think well about what God has in front of us. Our desire has been and continues to be to glorify God, to actively participate with the Father, Son, and Spirit as we live all of life in view of his coming kingdom. And that defines for us a mission statement, one of the really the what that we believe God has called us to as a church. And if you go to church very long in your life, you realize that any church worth its salt is trying to glorify God and make disciples and reach the world, right? I mean, that's your mission statement at pretty much every church. Here's how Summit believes God has called us to live that out. Summit Church exists to give every man, woman, and child the repeated opportunity to see, hear, and respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ without them having to come or go anywhere. Summit Church exists to give every man, woman, and child the repeated opportunity to see, hear, and respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ without them having to come or go anywhere. In our view, we glorify God as we participate in that, which is evangelism and discipleship wed together in one. We exist to make the good news of Jesus Christ accessible. You say, what do you mean by accessible? There are churches on every corner down here in the South. And you're right, there are. Guess what? Nobody's going to them. Not by and large. So your neighbor and your coworker and your classmate and your friend or family member who doesn't get up on Sunday and go to a church, and odds are that's 80 to 82% of the population that lives in Greenville, South Carolina, they go to church once every 8 weeks if we're lucky. Just the 20%. The other 82 says, I don't ever go. I go less than 2 times a year. So guess what? They need the gospel to be accessible, tangible, livable. They need to see it, interact with it, understand it, hear it, have the opportunity to respond to it. If they accept or reject Jesus, that's not on you or me. I don't control that. You don't control that. But we do control whether or not the gospel is going to change us in such a way that where we live actually impacts the place where we are, influences the people where we are, and gives them access to the good news of Jesus Christ. If, in fact, he changes all of life, and we believe he does. That's the peace without them having to come or go anywhere. Yeah, they can come in here and we welcome that. You can invite friends and family here all day long every time you get the opportunity. But the end of it all, at the end of it all, I don't think the primary goal is to get them in here to hear me teach. I think the primary goal that God designed in the beauty of his church is that you would live next to them and they would hear the gospel from you. They would see it in your life. They would hear it around your kitchen table or in your living room. And they would be discipled here, I hope, but they would be discipled because you cared enough to not only share the gospel, but then to teach them how it intersects all of life. Now, that mission statement for us was also anchored into three kind of core convictions. You've heard these before if you've been around here long, but I'm just going to read them to you, and I'm not going to dwell on them. I think they're mostly self-explanatory. But everything we think about theologically, philosophically, and the ways and methods that we try to think about how to do ministry are built on these three core convictions. Number one, whatever God's going to do in the world in redeeming people to himself, he desires to do through all of Christ's people, the church. Caveat, not a select perceived group of superstars or professionals. Do you know this? God never intended that the beauty of the church intersecting the world would be primarily only driven by the people who are considered to be professionally involved in the church. Matter of fact, this may blow your mind, or you may be excited about it, or you may be very confused by it. I don't care. Today we're sharing it. I pray often that God would provide avenues so that we would not have to pay a staff, that the staff could work bivocationally or co-vocationally and figure out ways to serve the church just so we could look at you and say, I am not here for the money. And I promise you, I'm not here for the money. And I am praying for ways that God would open up doors that we could serve alongside of you and say to the world that God actually wants to use the whole church, the whole body, everywhere you live and everywhere I live and go. And I think you got to wrestle with that conviction. Do you believe God wants to use your story and his great story of redemption to change the world? Do you believe that God actually intends that you would be a part of the equipping of the body for the good of the ministry and the sake of God's glory continuing to saturate the world? We do. And it's shaping everything we're thinking about and praying about. I'm going to have more coffees based on that, what I just said. I love working here. I do. But man, there are many days where I wish I could look across the coffee table at you or the lunch table at you and go, man, I'm not calling you to something just to support my paycheck and that you would believe it because my paycheck wasn't tied to being here. So I'll keep praying for that. And maybe it's my lack of faith. Maybe it's already out there. If you know anyone who's willing to hire somebody whose primary skill is talking, like I have, somebody tried to sell me disability insurance. I was like, man, I don't even know what that would require for me to qualify for. Because you could just put me up here, and as long as the mouth opens, it's probably tell me you don't qualify, you know? Second core conviction, whatever God's going to do in the world in redeeming people to himself, he desires to do primarily through a decentralized structure. I think the church was built to multiply and reproduce, not to grow as big as it can get in one place forever. I think God intended that his people and his body would be a constant, moving, growing, reproducing, multiplying organization around the world. It would be living. It would spread and go. That has implications for how we think about ministry at Summit. And lastly, whatever God's going to do in the world in redeeming people to himself, he desires to do primarily through leadership that sees equipping others in their giftedness as just as important as using their own gifts. I hope and pray we prove time and time again in the future that our desire is to equip you to do the work God's called you to do in the places God has sovereignly put you and see that as just as valuable as the times we get to use any or all of the gifts God may or may not have given to us. I think for us to see every man, woman, and child have access to the gospel without ever having to come or go anywhere, we've got to think about ministry in a way that sees all of Christ's people as the vehicle God desires to use in a mechanism that pushes us out and tells us that reproducing and multiplying and spreading further wide is actually a good thing. And that doesn't always feel good. Let's be honest, because if you can get it bigger, you can have more programs, you can do more stuff, and you can provide more things. And pushing it wide actually costs you something. And some of you know it. You've been here long enough that the more you spread out and the more you take it wide, the more you pay for it, not just financially, sometimes relationally. And lastly, that God's going to do that through leaders who see using their gifts to equip others as more important than using them for themselves. I hope that proves itself out. Time will tell. All of those distinctives and, I mean, all of those core convictions are really the foundation that lie underneath how we do ministry. If the what is the mission and the core convictions are why we do it that way, then the how really is something we call our distinctives. And I'm going to list these five for you. I'm going to give you kind of a one-sentence definition of them, and we'll unpack them more as we go throughout the year. This morning, later on, in just a few minutes, we'll unpack a little bit more of one of them. Here are the distinctives, the ways we actually think about how to accomplish the stuff that I've already stated. Summit Church seeks to be target-driven. Simply means that we want to saturate our God-given geography, our circle of accountability with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We want to care about where we live. We draw a five-mile radius around each of our facilities. There's nothing spiritual about 5 miles. It's just a number of trying to figure out who lives around us, what's around us. Within 5 miles of this building, it's close to 125,000 people. Last we checked, the median household income within 5 miles of this facility is about $45,000 a year. The poverty of this circle, close to 25% live below the poverty line, and around 43% are single parents. You and I can't do a shiny enough thing on Sunday to take care of that. This is important. It matters, but it matters only if it releases us back into the place where we live on purpose. And if it doesn't, I'm not sure we're doing it right. Secondly, we desire to be driven by gospel-motivated spiritual formation. We're going to zoom the lens in there in just a few minutes. But the desire there is to disciple those who've been entrusted to our care in gospel-motivated and measurable values. We actually think there's a way to have a feel and understanding and a sense of what God's up to in the lives of people, and we should care about that collectively together. We'll come back to that. We are driven by interdependent leadership, a unified leadership team that submits to Jesus Christ as the head of the church, actually, with a plurality of leadership functions. There is no senior pastor at Summit Church. There is no lead pastor at Summit Church. There are a collection of elders at Summit Church that have been affirmed by the people of Summit Church who seek to lead in submission to Jesus Christ and to one another by God's grace. And for 15 years, by God's grace, he's allowed it to happen. I hope it continues. We believe in church planting and partnership. That means starting new churches and partnering with existing churches and revitalizing existing churches for the sake of gospel saturation, which we designed or described at the very beginning. We want more people to have more access to the gospel, and so we'll work with other churches to see that become a reality. If it's all about Summit, then it's not about anything important. And so our desire is to open our hands, our hearts, our minds, our resources in time to bless other churches, and some that are just a mile down the road and some that are 100 miles away and some that are 1,000 miles away, which is why we care about a guy who's planting a church in Iowa. You know why? Because he cares about these things. So if he cares about these things, we want to help him. We have churches in Syracuse that we're helping, in Boston that we've helped, in Florida that we've helped, in Southern South Carolina that we've helped, 3 or 4 here in the upstate that our desire is to continue to help and bless and partner with and see that number grow. I hope that continues to grow. And then lastly, global intentionality, that we believe God is a global God, and our desire is to support indigenous churches and leaders around the world as they proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ in their places. We will and have sent missionaries, but by and large, our desire for those missionaries is to train up indigenous leaders in the places where God has them so that they can reach the people God has put in their geography with the gospel of Jesus Christ. The last thing we're trying to do is export everything we are as the American church into every other context. We're trying to export the gospel and the beauty of the kingdom into the people in the places where they live so that they can put that into the context of their circles of influence and make Jesus Christ known. Sometimes we do that well, sometimes we don't. Some of you have served in the mission field here in your history, sometimes short-term, sometimes long-term. You realize that sometimes that's done really well and sometimes it's done really poorly. Our desire by God's grace is to continue to saturate other places in the world with the gospel by partnering with the people God already has there. Listen, for some of you, that's as boring as a Sunday morning can get. So we're done with it. You can relax, take a deep breath, and put a smile back on your face. For others of you, you love this kind of stuff. Like, what's underneath? What's on the inside if you hit reset? I think for all of us, the reminder is this. If you've been here for 5 minutes or you've been here for all 15 years, that hasn't changed. We haven't tried to reword it. We haven't tried to make it something else because things are going bad or good or different, or that's been the same since the beginning. If you reset us, if you turn us off and turn us back on, that's what you get. If you're going to call Summit Church home, you're being invited into a context of people that want to give every man, woman, and child repeated opportunities to see, hear, and respond to the good news of Jesus Christ without them having to come or go anywhere. They're doing that because they believe, I believe, that God wants to use all of Christ's people, the church, as he continues to redeem people to himself. It's not just a role for a few people who are really mature and some who will eventually get there. It's for everybody at every maturity level in Christ Jesus. God's got a part of the story that he intends your life to play out on purpose. And he wants that to be reproducing and moving and going. And sometimes that's easy and sometimes that's hard. But the goal is, it can't just be about this. This is important. Very important. We'll talk about that. It's extremely important that we get together and make much of Jesus Christ together and serve one another and care for one another and equip one another. But it's got to go somewhere. And I think you'd be joining a group of people who hope and pray that if there are leaders here at this place, they would live in such a way that they value equipping others as just as important as using their own gifts. Because they would see the beauty that as other people get elevated in Christ Jesus, mature in Christ Jesus, grow up in Christ Jesus, that everything else we say we want is actually going to come to fruition. Slowly but surely, bearing its fruit. And a group of people who care about where we live, who want to see people grow in the gospel and the maturity of Jesus Christ, who are led by a group that is existing in plurality, who really does believe Jesus is the head of his church even now, and a place that wants to bless other churches and partner with other churches and share the gospel around the world. I hope and pray that proves true, but it won't prove true unless we collectively grab it together. I'm going to ask Chris and the others to come back up, and we're going to take a moment and think about the goodness of the Lord, the beauty of the Lord. Because part of the worry for me is that this starts to get a little bit just informational. Oh, that's cool. It's good to know who Summit is. We're going to go to Colossians 1 in just a moment and think about the spiritual formation of all of God's people. And in just a moment, Taylor's going to read this beautiful passage from Colossians 1, which is a hymn of Jesus Christ. It's like when she reads it, I invite you to just close your eyes and imagine the beauty of Jesus Christ that is being described. And I don't want you to lose sight of the fact that when we talk about what we're trying to do, and we talk about why we're trying to do it or how we're trying to do it, there's a who. There's a who that we're trying to exalt. There's a who that we're trying to please. There's a who that we're trying to proclaim. And Colossians makes that really clear. And I want us to sit in that before we keep thinking anymore about how. If you have your Bibles, you can open them to Colossians chapter 1. And we'll take just a few seconds here. And again, just acknowledging for all of you that this is a peculiar kind of morning, a unique kind of morning, but I hope and pray an encouraging one. In Colossians chapter 1, it was already read over us this morning. At the very end of chapter 1, after this beautiful hymn about the beauty of Jesus Christ and the sufficiency of Jesus Christ, Paul says this, "To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, the mystery that Gentiles are actually grafted into the family of God, that now Jews and Gentiles alike are God's beloved sons and daughters, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, that is the mystery. Listen to what he says. This is Paul writing Jews and Gentiles at the church in Colossae, and he is calling and binding their unity together, reminding them that that who they are in Christ is far superior to any other thing that they may have been tempted to find their identity in or build their life upon or try to stand and anchor against in life when life starts to press against them. He's like, no, it's Christ. That's who it is. All I have is Christ, and he's enough. So verse 28. Him, Christ, we proclaim. It's Christ we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy, not my own, his energy that he powerfully works within me. It's not our own strength, but not only that, Paul is reminding us this is about everybody. We exist to proclaim him. That's our life. That's our binding together. That's why we exist here when we gather on Sunday morning. That's why we exist if we gather in a home for a life group. That's why we exist if we have a ministry here that's running to invest in our kids or our students or in anybody else. It's why we live in the city. It's why we live in our neighborhood and in our houses and in our dorm rooms. It's because God intended that we, his people, set apart for his glory, would proclaim him. And we've said this before, and I'll say it again. In Acts chapter 17, Paul also preaching says to all of those who are listening, do you not know God who created the heavens and the earth? He is the one who determined the period of time you would live and the boundary place of your dwelling. If you don't think you're alive in 2022 in the upstate of South Carolina for a reason, then you're not listening to what God says about you. Because God says, I have a plan and a purpose for your life that far surpasses what you could ever imagine. And the root of all of it and the aim of all of it is to proclaim him. Now then Paul looks and says, guess what? This is for everybody. We warn everybody. We teach everybody. Why? So that we might present everybody mature in Jesus Christ. I think these are the implications for us. Now, one has implications inside these four walls. And this is the one that times feels, it can feel self-serving, especially if you grew up in the church or if you work at the church. But I don't care about how it feels. I care about what it says. Here's what it says. If we're doing anything to try to equip and form the people of God, or the people that God has entrusted to us, to grow up in the maturity of who they are in Jesus Christ, then we collectively do that. Practically, just here, we don't do a lot. We do kids ministry, student ministry, small group and life group ministry. We try to do some equipped classes and training and teaching for people in the text of Scripture. And we try to create environments where you can learn how to serve the circle around you. Prior to 2020 and everything that came with it, we had two services, 9/11 here at Summit Cherrydale, and we ran our kids ministry in such a way that we had enough volunteers that you only had to serve, if you were a volunteer, on average, you only had to serve once every 6 weeks prior to 2020. You didn't have to serve every month. We currently run one service with Summit Kids and do not have enough volunteers to run the second and wrestle to pull off the first. We did not lose that many people in 2020, just in case you were wondering. If you're here able-bodied and willing to invest in our children for the sake of the gospel and their growing up in the reality of who he is and maturing in him, and many of you do, praise God, and thank you for it, but to those who are willing and able to also jump in, we need you. We need you to help us to continue to form the minds and hearts of young children that they would understand the beauty of the gospel. The primary responsibility belongs to their parents. Yes, amen. We're going to try to equip that as well. As a matter of fact, this Wednesday at Summit Simpsonville, We're teaching, having a class and discussion for all parents and students who are in middle school or high school, their parents as well, to come to Summit Simpsonville to talk about a class of how do we approach the Bible and read it together. Ways we're teaching your children to read the Bible, your students, middle school and high school, questions to ask of the text when they come to it. We're going to share that with parents so that parents and students alike can figure those things out. I know the burden falls on mom and dad. We're a support to that. Let's be one. We have people who volunteer their time on Wednesday nights to hang out with our students here. We actually have an awesome team that does that. But if God's calling you to that, you can talk to us. We'd love to have you plugged in. We have people who stand out here every Sunday morning to make new people and people who are here every week feel welcomed and encouraged, to put their arm around them and pray with them, to speak to them often, to actually ask what's going on in their life. We call it a hospitality team. Who knows if that's what it should be called or not. That's what we call it. And Lisa runs it because she's the most hospitable person in the world. And she has a team, but she could use more people. Lots of people. Not just more, lots. Carissa leads worship up here with a group of people in the back and up front. If you can't sing, probably can click through slides, and that's not a little thing, right? And Timmy serves often so that we can follow along in worship. Isaac back there, like those are things that happen. I know they're not fancy, and I know they don't feel amazing, and it's not like you feel like you're changing the world, but guess what? It's a part of how we form one another. It's just a part of it. It's not the end-all be-all. But we'd love to have you connect. Paul Garrigan's going to start a prayer team that emphasizes prayer ministry in our church during the service and in around Sunday mornings and outside of here. And if you're interested, there's a sign-up sheet for that. And Paul will give you instructions on this group that's going to come together and emphasize and elevate the beauty of prayer in the life of Summit Cherrydale. I couldn't be more excited about that. And there's something out there we've talked about before called circle teams. We've never been able to get one healthy and established because we need somebody else to take the reins to lead it, to help us think about how to reach the 5-mile radius around our facility more intentionally, more often, and with more people at Summit involved. If God's calling you to that, let's talk. Actually, talk to Kip. Just kidding. Talk to either one of us. Those are things that happen inside here. It's not a lot, but it's important. It's important. And I, for the life of me, can't live, figure out why, or want to stay in a position where we're having to beg people for help. It makes no sense to me. If this is home, listen, if you're a guest, like, come back anytime, I promise. And you can hang out here for as long as you want to check us out. If you're new here and you're just like, hey, we're trying to figure out if this is home or not, please do not let this frighten you away. We do not come hard at all of you, I promise. We just love you. It's just like you're in the honeymoon. You hang out with us as much as you want. If you're in the family, we got chores. That's how it works, all right? So if you're here, there's things we got to just do for the house to run. But that's just inside. That's not life. Like, we know that. God's calling you to live with intentionality where you are. Some of you got to start things in your home. You got to open your door to your neighbors. Some of you have to start thinking creatively about how God's invited you and wired you to be something at your workplace that is not obtuse or arrogant or off-putting, but invites people into seeing the beauty and the compelling nature of the gospel because it changes all of life. And you got to start praying for your coworkers by name before you'll ever earn the right to be heard. And those of us who are thinking about our neighbors, got to pray for them by name every day. Thinking about the opportunities God might open for us to open our homes and have them in. If you're a boss with employees and you don't think there's implications for how the gospel shapes the way you relate to them, you're missing a moment for the gospel where God's put you. If you're a mom who stays home with young children and you are dying on the vine and you need support, you keep telling us. And husbands, you keep coming home and telling your wife that you're stepping in and ready. Because serving your children at home right now in this season is God-sized work. And if we can support you in that, let us know. We have some single moms here. If you need help, you tell us. And it's easy for me to stand up here and say this. Guess who the answer is to all of this? It ain't me. And it ain't him. It's us. I'll be involved. You'll be involved. Let's take care of these things. Why? Because we are bound to one another in Christ Jesus. It's everyone teaching and warning everyone so that everyone will be mature in front of Christ Jesus or in Christ Jesus, built up in Christ. That takes all of you. You're a college student. You're here for a year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, five, six, seven. It just depends. However long God has you here in this space, be here. Like, if it's not Cherrydale, Summit Cherrydale, and you end up finding another faith community, we bless that. We love. I can tell you where to go if you don't like us or if you just don't feel like this is the fit. There are solid places around us. But if you're here, if this is going to be the place you tell home that you're going to, if you're going to call back home and tell your family you're connected here, then be here and be plugged in as often as God allows you to and tell us how we can serve you and love you. To be formed in Christ, him we proclaim, warning everyone. There's more there, and we'll get to it, but I'm sorely out of time. So, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom. Where does wisdom come from? What's the anchor? What's the guardrail? It's right here. This is the foundational guardrail. If you don't find it here, affirmed, anchored here, then you got to wrestle with whether or not it's something God wants for you. So you warn, you actually correct and teach, but that's a collective reality. Some of us, some in this room, some outside of this room for certain, but some even in this room, if you are honest and you think about Christ, the hope of glory, and being in Christ and growing up mature in Christ and realizing that that actually has to get anchored to the text of God's word. And I understand that some of your backgrounds made this really hard to engage. I get that. And there's grace for that. And we'll help you navigate that. But don't use it as a cop-out to never open the book. God himself inviting you to see something about him that has nothing to do with what everybody else says. It's just there. I trust his spirit, his word, and him to say things to you that are absolutely true and important for you. Yeah, there's a safeguard here called the body, but I pray that you will find ways to engage God's word so that you might be formed in the maturity of who Christ is. And I pray like crazy that you will not be so distracted that we would not be so distracted by all the information that floods us throughout the week. I pray we would not be so blind by headlines and opinions. I pray that we would not be in any way, shape, or form deceived by theories that would bind us to something other than proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ, maturing in the person of Jesus Christ and his righteousness given to us freely because of his grace and his mercy, and being bound to one another until the completion of what God designed for us so that we may proclaim to the world the goodness of the gospel of Jesus Christ without them having to come or go anywhere. I think many of you deserve a pat on the back, an arm around your shoulder, and an encouragement this morning as you continue to pursue Christ and you serve others and you serve toward the formation of everyone in this place. I think some of you need an arm around the shoulder and a word of exhortation and encouragement. Hey, come get in the game with us. Come walk the journey with us. Let's see what God does. There's grace for both. There's grace to rest here and get healing and help. There's also grace to love you enough to say, it's time to go. There's work to be done. And God designed you would be a part of it. We love you and we're praying for you. I've asked Kip, one of our elders and pastors here, to come and read Paul's prayer from Colossians 1, 9 through 14 over us as a benediction. As you go, if you came prepared to give, you can drop an offering in the baskets on the way out. If this is home for you, thanks for your generosity. We're grateful. We've been sending some updates to you and we're thankful for your support and your help. And if you're a guest, the only thing we'd ask from you is a guest card, just so we know you were here, so we can thank you for joining us. There's some physical copies at the information table. There's little codes on the back of the chairs you can scan and fill one out digitally. And at the table this morning are sheets to sign up for all the ways you can serve here if you're not already serving. If you are, thank God for you. And if you aren't, we invite you to pray about serving where God would have you plug in here. And next week, we'll be in Mark 8. All right? Tune back in.
Thank you for joining for this week's message. Summit Upstate's mission is to give every man, woman, and child the repeated opportunities to see, hear, and respond to the gospel. We'd love to connect with you, so we invite you to reach out to us at summitupstate.org.